Good morning. Preston, why don't you step right up here? This is Preston Knoll. And Preston, would you read our scripture for today?
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me from the light and become night around me. Even the darkness will not be looking dark to you. The night will shine like day, for the lightness is as dark to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Thank you, Preston. I am so grateful to be a part of a church family that is led by our kids and that invests in the next generation. Well, this week was certainly buzzing in this room. Have you ever seen the sanctuary look quite this colorful? It's really been something to be a part of VBS this week. This was the Maker Fun Factory. And did you know we had 207 kids and 83 volunteers as a part of that? Isn't that awesome? And I'll tell you, it was outrageous fun around here. It was just explosive fun in the opportunities that the kids had to use their imaginations and their creativity. But you know, even more than that, we know that our kids this week experienced the presence of God. You know, there's one of our four-year-olds who participated in VBS this week who told her mom about her experience, and she sent a text to Pastor Lisa. She said, "Mom, today in the church, I heard God talk to me," at 4 years old. Isn't that amazing? That's why we do this. Each week at VBS, the kids learned a different theme of the day. And so together they learned, God made you. God is for you. God is always with you. God will always love you. And God made you for a reason. And kids, we're so glad that you're in the sanctuary today. After we said those things, what do we say? Wow, God, that's right. Wow, God. It's amazing that this is our God who loves us in this way. You know, can you imagine the kind of impact that this can have on our kids? That these truths would be rooted in their lives and in their hearts. Can you imagine how powerful that can be? But you know, for all of us who are a part of VBS this week, we know what you probably are already understanding as you read these things today. These are not just truths for kids. These are foundations for all of us. These are foundations for our faith. And so today, let's take our cue from our kids. Let's let them lead us as together we focus on some of these same truths that they learned throughout the week. The week began with this exploration from Psalm 139, as Preston just read it for us a moment ago. Considering the creativity of the God who made us. And in all of this, imagination was at the center of it. Creativity was abounding, and there were all kinds of supplies and materials and things to make and do and discover together. In fact, one of those things I hope that you received when you came in the sanctuary. Did you receive a Lego today when you came in to the sanctuary? You know, a Lego is something that has the potential for endless creativity. Did you know that if you had six pieces of Lego brick that were the size of 2x4, just six of them, you could combine them in more than 915 million different ways. Isn't that unbelievable? You know, when we hold something like a Lego in our hands, it reminds us of potential and possibility. It can spark our imagination and our creativity. You know, imagination is a powerful gift that God has placed within us. It's certainly part of the Bible. You know, when we read the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, we can see and experience that Jesus helped spark imagination through stories, through parables, and he would help people understand and imagine God in new ways. I want to invite you today to have your imagination sparked. I'd like for us to look again at Psalm 139, and I'd like for you to imagine not in the sense of a fantasy or a fairy tale, but imagine as the gift from God placed in you to see with new eyes, inspired by our Creator. Imagine this is your story in Psalm 139. As the psalmist David writes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." Did it spark your imagination to hear those words? I hope that it did. I hope that it is a reminder to you of your Creator and the intimacy that he has with you as his creation. You know, it's mind-boggling to reflect upon a psalm like this. It reminds us as we read these words of the power and the majesty and the presence of God that is beyond our comprehension, his supreme authority. And yet at the same time, this picture of a God who draws near and is fully aware and fully engaged in the smallest details. We find ourselves in awe of this, almost disbelieving. I like what David said in Psalm 8. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set into place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" Well, the psalmist is inviting us to ponder these realities of the power of God and yet his intimacy at the same time. And so I invite you today to imagine this kind of God. There are so many themes in this psalm. Let's think about these two specifically today. God knows you and God is with you. They may sound simple enough, yet things like this can be easily dismissed or forgotten in our lives. And so I invite you to experience these truths anew. First, God knows you. Now, to know someone or something can mean a number of different things, can't it? Have you ever have that moment on Facebook when someone sends you a friend request and you think, who is that person? And then you look at their picture and you say, oh, I think I know who that is. Do you ever have a moment like that? Those are the kinds of times when we know of someone or know of something. On the other hand, we can know someone with a great deal of intimacy. When I'm talking about my best friend, I can tell you, oh, I know exactly how she would react or what she would say in this situation because I know her. So what kind of knowledge are we talking about in this psalm when we think about the knowledge of God? Well, first of all, the psalmist acknowledges that it is a mystery to us, that the knowledge of God is too wonderful for us. It is too lofty for us to attain, that the mind of God is beyond the limitations of human mind. When we think about the 7.5 billion people on the planet, it's an overwhelming thought. And we might think to ourselves, if I am known by God, then at best, it would simply be as part of the masses. But yet this psalm is inviting us to imagine a different kind of reality. It's a reminder to us that the infinite mind of God has no limits. And he knows me, and he knows you in the most intimate kind of way. The word know is mentioned 7 times in this psalm. It's the Hebrew word yada. And it's a description of this very intimate kind of acquaintance. Listen to how the psalmist describes what it is to be known by God. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before me, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. God knows you. He really knows you, everything about you. And I don't know about you, but I find that thought incredibly comforting, that my Creator really knows and cares about me. And at the same time, I also find that thought a bit terrifying, that God knows everything and sees everything about me. You know, we talk so often about the love of God. This is the great story of the whole Bible, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. When we consider the concept of God's love alongside Psalm 139, we find ourselves even more in awe of the love of God, because we discover this is not blind love. And we can't think to ourselves, well, if God really knew me, he wouldn't love me. You see, his love, as this psalm reminds us, is a love that is knowing and seeing and fully aware and fully engaged. And it's not something that you have to earn. You can never deserve it. It's freely given. You are known by God because he created you. As it says in verses 13 and 14, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You were handcrafted by God. Here's a picture of my family from Easter this year. My husband Dan and I have 4 beautiful kids. That's Will on the left, who's 5, Noah and Jake, who are 4, and then Anna Kate, who as of this week is 6 months old. We are so grateful for the story that God has written in our lives and these amazing kids that God has entrusted to us. You know, with the boys being at ages 5 and 4, I can tell you that imagination is alive and well in our house. They are discovering everything and asking questions and testing limits. And unfortunately, there are also moments where their choices are based not on reality, but on their imagination. You know, this is also an age in their lives when they're discovering a lot about themselves and who they are, and they're discovering their own stories. Each one of our kids has a very special story, and 3 of their stories are adoption stories, and we love that. We're in awe of the miracle that we've been able to be a part of in their lives. You know, all of us have stories about who we are and where we came from. And for most of us, not every part of our story is easy or lovely and beautiful. You know, for all of my kids, as they even in these early years are learning the stories of their lives, I want them to know that the primary, the loudest story of their life is this. You are created by God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are known. You are loved, and God is with you. Because that is the most true story of their lives. And you know, that's the same for all of us. This is what the Lord speaks over our lives, that we were made by him and that we are loved by him. Perhaps today you need to imagine or reimagine that God knows you, that you are no accident, that you are created by God, and that when God sees you and knows you, he does not turn away. He loves you. As we continue to explore this psalm this morning, we see that this God who knows is also with you. God is with you. This psalm is one of many places that describes for us the promise of God's presence. Starting at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We have this picture here of the inescapable presence of God, that there is no place that we can go where God is absent, that even in the darkest places, God is there. And again, it's this intimate and personal description of God's love for us. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You know, there is incredible power in not being alone. So often when we go through difficult times in our lives, we feel that we are alone, we feel forgotten, we feel isolated. You know, this week I was especially moved in the midst of even everything of VBS. There are other stories a part of our church family. This week I witnessed the funeral and visitation for our dear Jim Tinsley. Witnessing the love of this church family and the community coming around Jan and all of the family was a beautiful thing. You know, for all of us, a funeral of a loved one is something that none of us want to experience. And yet at the same time, I witness that there is such power in seeing and experiencing the outpouring of love from the people who make time and just show up and in doing so represent the presence of Christ. See, it's powerful and it's an overwhelming picture of that reality in the gospel. You are not alone. Because this is the truth. God is with you. That is a powerful theme to trace in the scripture. You know, in some of the most desperate moments that are recorded in all of scripture, there's this consistent proclamation from heaven. I am with you. Moses experienced it. When Moses stood at a burning bush, barefoot, knees knocking, protesting God's assignment to go and be his vessel, Moses asked, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you." Joshua experienced it. When the Lord told Joshua to lead the people across the Jordan and into the promised land, the Lord said to him, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And Gideon experienced it. When God sent this timid and fearful leader, Gideon, to save Israel out of Midian's hand, Gideon asked, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered him, "I will be with you." Jeremiah experienced it. When the Lord spoke to the priest Jeremiah, calling him to become a prophet, Jeremiah protested, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to him, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." This is not just a message, though, from the ancient prophets. Jesus himself proclaimed this truth. Matthew closes his gospel account with the words of Jesus commissioning his followers. That's those then and us alike. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." I am with you. It's a powerful proclamation in Scripture because God's presence really does change everything. And the Scripture gives us a testimony of this. The presence of God is the most powerful answer to any question that you can ask. Did you notice that? God, who am I to do this task? I will be with you. How can I do this? I will be with you. Do I have what it takes? I will be with you. Why, Lord, is this your way? I will be with you. And so it is for us. In the moments in life when we are overwhelmed and the big questions that we ask of heaven, how am I going to get through this diagnosis? I will be with you. What about my marriage that is falling apart? I will be with you. How am I going to handle the future? I will be with you. How am I going to navigate the challenge in front of me? I will be with you. God is with you. It is a great comfort. You know, if we are honest about that today, we also acknowledge that is a daring and sometimes courageous thing to believe. And there are times in our lives that are so dark and deep and difficult that a statement like that feels like it even mocks us. Because there are times in our lives, I've been there and I know you have stories as well, when we are sure that God is surely absent. When the pain is so real. When tragedy strikes. When we come face to face with the brokenness and the cruelty of the world. Do you know there are psalms that voice that very feeling? In fact, it was Jesus himself who drew from another psalm, quoting those words from the psalm, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish? See, there are certainly times in our lives, especially in the darkest seasons, when God seems absent. And these are the moments when we find ourselves most desperate for the assurance that God is with us, longing to be able to see or experience just a glimpse of that. But these are the times that are hardest to sense his presence. And it may be that you're in one of those seasons today. And what you need more than anything else is to actually be able to believe that it is true, that God is with you and that God sees you and that he leans towards you in the midst of what you are going through. Perhaps today it is pure courage to take him at his word. Isaiah 43 reminds us, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." You know, this power of the presence of God came to dwell among us through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is introduced to us, echoing the Old Testament prophecy of who he was to be. He is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, God with us. You know, one of the greatest gifts that we can receive through the church, through the body of Christ, is to be able to see and experience together that we are not alone, that God is with you, and that God is with you through his people. You know, every time you walk through the doors of this place, you're surrounded by people who are going through difficult things, because everybody has something big going on. And when we come into this place, we do so because we need to lift our eyes. We need to remember who he is, and we need to be reminded of his presence. But we also come to this place because we need one another. And so I want to encourage you. I want to commission you anew. When you walk into this place, do so with eyes wide open to the needs that are around you, because you have the ability to help communicate to others. You are not alone. God is with you. This is the beauty of the body of Christ that God has intended for us. Today is a day for us to remember again, as Psalm 139 invites us to imagine and experience, God knows you. God is with you. These are foundational truths, and they can really be transformational for our lives. As the Psalm invites us to dwell in this beautiful reality, do you know there is also a call to action here? Psalm 139 ends with a prayer. In verse 23, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, there is deep and important work to do in our hearts. Because when we come face to face with who God is and how he loves us, then it requires something of us. See, the psalmist leads us in opening our lives fully before God. All that we are, search me, God, and know my heart. These foundational truths about who we are and how our Creator knows us are not simply about us feeling good and feeling comforted by God. You see, God is strengthening us because he has a purpose for our lives. Part of this psalm is the courage to ask God to lead our lives. Because when we know God and when we know that he loves us this way, we trust him and we follow him. And the Bible is very clear that when we encounter the love of God, we are then commissioned to share that love with others. Would you take that Lego piece that you received and put it in your hand for a moment? You know, an item like this is packed with potential. It can be a spark for our imagination. Legos really are an incredible invention. They're called Lego blocks, but they're different than any other kind of block that you can play with. We know that the key to a Lego is the ability that it has to link together with other blocks. So you'll notice that a Lego has two different surfaces. Would you take that and look at one side and turn it over and look at the other? I'm sure you've seen it before, but think about the fact that this Lego block has both a give and a take connection. A Lego is built with these two different surfaces, the capacity to both give and receive. Do you know that's a great analogy for us as human beings as well? We too have the capacity to both give and receive. As Christ followers, we may find ourselves sometimes leaning one way or another and doing more giving or more receiving. But you know, we need a balance of both of those things. We need to be people who receive, people who fully experience that we are known by God and that he is with us. We also need to be people who give, who pour ourselves out serving and loving others so that they can experience the power of Christ. And so I want to ask you, how is that balance in your life today of giving and receiving? I'd like for us to talk in a very specific way about that today. Today we took our cue from our kids and invited them to lead us. The truths that they learned this week are powerful lessons for us as well. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful that Church at the Crossing is a place that makes a big investment in the next generation. And church, I want to ask you today, imagine what might happen if together we recommitted ourselves to reach the next generation so that they can experience the power of God who loves them and is with them. And I want to ask you today, would you consider what it is for you to give to the next generation? Do you know one of the best ways that you can do this is to simply be present in the lives of our kids around here. I love talking with Pastor Lisa about kids ministry, and I love hearing her talk about the opportunities to serve here. One of the things that I've noticed from her is that she doesn't use the word volunteer. She doesn't call someone who serves a volunteer. She calls them a kid influencer because she knows that these are people who are influencing and shaping the lives of kids for the sake of Jesus. Because that's the big dream of our kids ministry, that God would continue to trust us with a growing number of kids who will know every time they walk in these doors that they are known and that they are loved. And that means that we need an army of people who are making a commitment that every week they will show up and invest. Weekly kid influencers who know the names and the stories of our kids. As I look around this room, I see so many of you here who do that so well, and I'm so grateful. You know, it sends a tremendous message to our kids when we are consistently there for them week after week, when we know their name, when we know their stories. And we need more people to join that mission. And so I want to ask you today to be thinking and praying about joining that mission this fall as the school year gets ready to kick off. Starting in August, we need people who will make a 4-month commitment to show up every week in the lives of our kids. If you feel a tug on your heart just to explore that possibility, anywhere from babies up to 4th graders, then I want to encourage you to take a next step today. Pastor Lisa will be at the Say Yes table in the lobby, and you can complete a very simple card, quick and easy to do, so that we can follow up with you and have an individual conversation as you explore what God might want to do through you as we reach the next generation together. Now, I know that for some of you in the room, the very best gift that you can give our kids is to not be in a classroom with them. Anyone in here? I know I don't make you raise your hands. I get that. But you know, I want to remind you, church, that this really is a mission for all of us. And there are more ways that we can be on this mission together than just being in a classroom. Every one of us can be praying for our kids. Every one of us can be cheering on our kids and giving high fives and supporting parents in our community. Every one of us can give with increasing generosity to our Go Love Fund, which fuels the mission and the ministry of Church at the Crossing, including reaching the next generation. You know, as we were wrapping up VBS this week, I found myself just in awe of the things that I heard our kids expressing about ways that they experienced God, ways that they heard his voice. Can you imagine how our kids would be impacted if these truths that they learned this week, if they would be written into their hearts, if these things would take root in them? You know, that's not just a dream of VBS week that our kids would know things like this. It's the dream of who we want to be as people at Church at the Crossing. Can you imagine the power of consistent investment and influence into the next generation From the first time that a baby enters the nursery, through preschool and elementary and middle school years, through their high school experience, that their lives would be grounded in the love of God. Can you imagine? Parents who experience every week that they are not alone and that there are others who are with them in the midst of what feels like often a daunting challenge of parenting. Imagine kids and youth who can name by name the people in their lives who show up every week and who know them and care about them and tell them about Jesus. Can you imagine the impact of their lives that will continue to multiply in the kingdom of God? You see, Church at the Crossing, we are on a mission together to reach the next generation, and we need to be all in together. So I want to ask you today to respond. I want to ask you to take these moments and listen to your heart and ask God what he may want to do through you to reach the next generation. Today, I'd like for us to have a little fun together with a symbol of that commitment, a symbol of our commitment together to be on this mission to build into the next generation. So in just a moment, we're going to have a fun song that will start. And as we do that, I want to invite you to come forward and take your Lego brick and stop at one of these three tables and help us build together as a symbol of our commitment to invest in the next generation. Will you stand up with me? As you come forward today to help us build in this symbolic way, to build into the next generation, I want to invite you to do so with joy in your heart today and to ask this question. Lord, will you say it with me? Lord, what do you want to do through me to reach the next generation? Amen. Come on, let's build.